Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace as we come forth and bring forth this message by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. We give you praise, glory, and honor, for we know that it all belongs to you. And so, Lord, have your way this evening. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So, my friends, I ask this question tonight. Did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to do another expository teaching with verses 1 through 8. And I've entitled this evening's message, Set Your Mind on the Things Above. Let's go right here and let's look on the screen right here. Set your mind on the things above. Now, my friends, before we get into the study, we're living in some chaotic times right now. Listen, I want to show you some things that's taking place as we speak. And if there was ever a time to pray, the church needs to pray today, tonight, tomorrow, throughout the week, next month. Let me just say this. Our dear friend, who's been a beloved friend of our nation when she was birthed in 1948, is the country of Israel. And many of us have had the privilege to go there and visit the land. For me, I've been there several times, many times. And we took Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship there about 3.5 years ago. But right now, as we speak, there are rockets being fired from the north and from the south, and it's becoming an all-out war. And we know the Bible says that when they all come against Israel, that's when the end of the time will be. Let me just say this, because it went on record already. But Turkey, Russia, and Iran is mounting up to intervene on the side of the Palestinians, and we're going to see some devastation. I want your attention right here on the screen right here, and I want us to see what's taking place right now as we speak. Number one, let's look at this. COVID in America is somewhat dissipated, but I found out today two Padre players, which is Tatis and Hosmer, acquired it and they can't play. But I want you to see this. There's over 250,000 Indians in India have been killed in the last several weeks. 4,000 bodies were found floating down a river because of COVID. We thought that this thing was over with. But they need our prayers. Can I get an amen? They need our prayers. This is what's happening right now in India. Look at this. This is what I just mentioned. Israel is in war with Hamas. And so we all know that Hamas is backed by Iran. So for all these many years of peace, the Bible says when you hear of peace, look out for sudden destruction. So they've been strategically planning these bombs to go off and fly across. Some of them are hitting the Temple Mount now. Some of them are hitting Tel Aviv. And they're coming from the south, they're coming from the north. My friends, we're living in perilous times right now. Perilous times. That's right. Let's look at this. Riots in our streets in America. That's right. They're still rioting. And every little racial thing in the minds of the progressive left wing, if they think that there's anything that is slightly racial, they will burn the streets. Right now, Seattle looks like a war zone. New York, parts of New York looks like a war zone. It's happening in the time that we live in. You recall several months ago, there was a little riot there in La Mesa, and they burned the stores there. We're living in perilous times. And then look at this. The transgender and homosexual transformation of America across the land. Ever since Obama allowed 50 states to marry same-sex marriages, right now, this is what they're shoving down the throats of little children. When they return back to school, they have an agenda already, a platform for them to sow this ungodliness into the little hearts of our boys and girls in public school. We're in trouble. We're in trouble with God. This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to fast. This thing right here that you're seeing is an abomination unto God. Look at this. Volcanoes erupting worldwide like never before. Jesus said in the last days there will be earthquakes and in various places. Well, earthquakes are part of the volcano family, and they're happening everywhere, saints of God, everywhere. And so we're going to look at this study, and this is why I've entitled this evening's message, Set Your Mind on the Things Above. Because right now on earth, it's chaotic all over the land. That's right. Listen, there's no gas in our southern states. There's lines and lines of people trying to get gas. Why? Because Biden cut off the pipeline. And we were attacked as well by a cyber attack. And so that lets you know how vulnerable we are right now in the time that we live in. So when things like this start to happen, saints of God, for those of you that are watching right now and those of you that have tuned in, this is where we need to go to God. This is why we need the Word of God to be high and lifted up. We need the Word so that it would be a flashlight. It would be a lamp unto our feet, that we could call upon the name of the Lord and that God would direct our life, that He would lead us. He would put a shell, hallelujah, over us, a shield and a buckler, that He would encamp His angels around our homes, because we're living in perilous times, my friends. Oh, yes, we are. And this is why we need the Lord Jesus Christ like never before. We are not to look at the things that are happening right now, because we do see them and they're real. But we are to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are to look unto God, because God is our only source. He is our only strength. He is our only protection. He is the only one that could shield us from the wiles of the devil. And this is why, my friends, this is why we need to keep our hearts pure before God. We need to strive toward perfection. We need to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is about to return. And He's looking for those who are looking unto Him. He's coming back for those who are faithful to the gospel, that are faithful to Him, and that are faithful to one another. Can I get an amen? And so, let's go to the Word of God, hallelujah, in Colossians. We're going to break down Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Here we go. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, here it is, this is where I got the title. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Look at this in verse 5. Therefore, say that with me. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And this is where God is exhorting us as believers. He's not talking to the unbeliever. The unbeliever will have no comprehension of what we are saying tonight. This is for the born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's talking to the church. Paul is writing to the Colossian church. And 2,000 years later, it pertains to us no differently. Can I get an amen? It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion. Look at this. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God. Listen, let me just pause here. I'm glad that it was written for our understanding and our learning. Because you know what? A lot of times when pastors or preachers preach the scriptures like this, they take it personal. They think that the pastor or the evangelist or whoever the teacher is blasting them who are listening. No, this is what God is saying to you and I, including me. Can I get an amen? Let's get that straight now. This is God's word. This is why we need Him every moment. He controls our breath. He controls our walk. He controls everything about us. And He fills all space. Can I get amen? So let's go back to the word. Look at this. It says right here, because of these things, verse 6, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Put off what? Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Wow. Wow, saints of God. There are things that we must do. Can I get an amen? We have to do those things. So let's break this down. Let's go now to verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, the Greek words and the phrase, since you have been raised, express certainty. Once dead in their sins, these believers have been raised from death, just as Christ had been raised from the dead by God's power. It is God's power, my friends. They had received new life from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. They did not need to struggle and work to attain that life, as the false teachers were trying to tell them. They already had known that God brings life. And what remained was to work out its implications in daily life. We need to work out implications in our own life today for such a time as this. Why? Because they had been raised, saints of God. They had a clear responsibility to Christ who had raised them. Praise God, the apostles, the disciples during this time. I want you to look at this scripture right here. Look at this. In John 3:3-7, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Once again, this message is for those who have been born again to realize the conditions we're in. Unbelievers could care less. They're all about this world system. They're all about the culture. They change with the culture. You know, remember the word fad. They change with the fads of the day. But you and I, God is saying, look for these signs because I'm about to return. Let's go back here again. Once again in the Word of God. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be what? Born again. You see, my friends, first they must set their sights on the realities of heaven. And the Greek word for set means to seek something out with a desire to possess it. The other religious teachers stressed heavenly things also, but Paul was appealing to the highest reality of all, the exalted Christ, Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, the believers must take their focus off the world and turn it to Christ. Why? Who sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and of power. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that that's where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of his Father? You see, my friends, Christ's seat at God's right hand reveals his power, authority, and position as both judge and advocate. You see, the Colossian believers already had experienced this exaltation. They needed to set their sights so that they would live out their lives on earth as citizens of heaven. And that's what we should do. Can I get an amen? We should be living our life as though we are already in heaven, honoring the King, blessing the heart of God, honoring the law of the land, honoring each other, submitting to spiritual authority. When we receive instruction, that we shouldn't take it as a rebuke, but we should take it as exhortation, saying, God, thank you. Thank you that we can, there's a better way. There's another way. God's way is better. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's go now to verse 2 in Colossians chapter 1. The Word of God says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. This is so hard for some people to truly fathom this, saints of God. You see, letting heaven fill their thoughts meant concentrating on the eternal rather than the temporal. Letting their thoughts dwell in the realm of Christ. They were to focus on the Lord Jesus. Thoughts can influence actions. Can I get amen? So if believers would place their thoughts above and not just here on earth, their actions would please God. Why? Because we're serving the King. And so, saints, the things on the earth refers to legalistic rituals, the false methods used to achieve holiness, and even to the basic principles of the world described in chapter 2. But how were they to fill their thoughts with heaven? Paul had explained this, saints of God, in another letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, pure and lovely and admirable, excellent and worthy of praise. Can I get an amen? Listen, this is what the key is to see what honors God, to see what God loves, and that we would come alongside Him and bless His heart. Why? Because before we got saved in our BC years, my friends, you know how we were. We were rebellious. We were wayward. We didn't want to take instructions. We lied to our parents. We lied to our teachers. We lied to law enforcement. We basically lived a lie. And then we got saved. Praise God. How many so blessed that God saved us for such a time as this? Yes, He did. He saved us so that we would be a difference maker, that people around that surround our lives would see a difference, that we would be an example, that we would live an honoring, Christ-loving, Christ-centered life. Can I get an amen? Where people will say, man, I want that what you have. Listen, if you are truly filled with the Holy Spirit of promise and are living that life of obedience, people that are living in rebellion will see that there's a difference. And one of two things will happen. They'll either walk away from you, or they will embrace what you have and they will crave that, because that's what's lacking in their life. Did you know people really want to be obedient? They want to be taught. They want to be led. Oh, yes, they do, because God put it in us to do so. But here's the thing. The enemy has come to lie. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy comes to tell you that there's a better way than God's way. This is why the serpent in the garden deceived Eve and said, did God really say so, that you would die? And so when doubt and unbelief enter into a heart, then that's where the battle takes place. Oh, that's right. I've seen some Christians struggle with truth. They rather I read it, but so what? My goodness. My goodness, friends, I'm telling you, we need to take heed in the times that we live in. Look what's happening around us right now. Things are about ready to explode in this world. Oh, that's right. And it's right before us. We need to take heed. Can I get an amen? Look what it says right here in the Word of God in Philippians chapter 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, look at this, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Did you catch that last part? Listen, there should be people that God places in your life that are trying their best to honor the King, to honor God. And so Paul was saying, look at what I'm doing and do those things. Paul, he crucified. He crucified those things in his life in order to please God. And listen, this is what the church needs to be all about, is to truly trust God, hold on to God, say, God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's right. God honoring and no room for compromise. The moment we start compromising with the world, the Spirit of God will back off. Yes, he will. I want God's presence upon me 24/7. I hope you do too. Look what it says right here in the Word, right here in Colossians 3:12-13. Therefore, as the elect of God, who is the elect of God, saints? You and I. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. Look at this. Long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. Praise God. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must do. But I've been in church long enough where even those who are in ministry will walk away and not even say goodbye. Oh, yeah. And someone in the church will get mad at them, and they'll get mad at one another, and they'll take it out on one another, and then they just leave and close the door and not even say goodbye. Wow. That's all. You know what that shows me? I'm just speaking my mind here. It's all about them, and it was never about Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? It needs to be about Jesus. Can I get an amen? So, saints, they were not to live as ascetics in some mystical visionary realm. Rather, Paul was saying that by setting their thoughts above, their lives on this earth would be pleasing to God and would help accomplish Christ's work. I'd rather do it God's way. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So, my friends, let's move on and let's look at verse 3 in Colossians chapter 1. For you died, and your life is what? Hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What? Did you catch that? Let me read that last verse. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wow. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? This is the promise that he has for the child of God, for you and for me, is that the way he rose again in his glorified body, he has promised that to you and I. When the change takes place, I'm saying this every week. Every week I'm saying God is going to change us, and it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. You and I are going to be just like him. I want to appear with him in glory. Can I get amen? So, saints, the Greek aorist tense in the phrase for you died, it connotes that we died when Christ died. It happened at a point in history in Christ's death. All believers died. Then, like a seed buried in the earth, a believer's real life is hidden from the world, just as Christ's glory is hidden, only to be revealed when he returns. Listen, my friends, when we got saved, we are now hidden in Christ. My goodness. He's going to remove us, meaning when the wrath of God is poured out. He's going to remove the church. This is why he has to come and take us out from this earth. Why? Because he's going to renovate this earth in judgment. That's right. The last time this earth had a full-on judgment was back in the days of Noah, when the floods came and God had to wash away all the iniquity, all the evil, all the violence, all the perversion. And then obviously the world populated itself once again, and we still have a sin problem. And so God, in his great wisdom and his prophetic word, is he's going to do it once and for all. He's going to judge the earth with fire. Wow. Look what God's word says right here, saints of God, in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be what? Like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone, say that with me at home, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as what? He is pure. See, This is the whole gist of this expository teaching tonight, saints of God, is we need to mimic the Lord. We need to be like Him. We need to try. Are we going to have failures? Yes. Are we going to fall short? Yes. But God is saying, pick yourself up the ground, and I will bless you. I will still cleanse you. I'll still wash you. Keep walking toward me with that repentant heart, and God will do the miraculous. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now, hallelujah, saying this to some of you that are watching right now, that God is not through with you. God's not done with you. God wants to use you in mighty ways, and all you have to do is learn to die to self, hallelujah. Learn to honor the things of God, and God will do the miraculous. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, the spiritual lives of believers are hidden. Inner lives that are in union with Christ, who has brought them to be in Him and God. And one day, Christ is revealed in His glory. Believers will also share in all the glory. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, the divine life of Christ will be revealed fully and glorify us and reveal our true potential as children of God. Praise God. Christians look forward to the new heaven and the new earth and God that God has promised, and they wait. You and I wait for God's, hallelujah, order. Praise God. How many can't wait? How many can't wait for that new order that will free the world of sin and sickness and even evil? Praise God. Look what God's word says right here, my friends. It says right here in 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. We will know when He is revealed. We shall be like Him. Praise God. Now, I want you to look at this scripture in Revelation. Look at this. Now I saw a new heaven. Say that with me. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had been passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Look at this. New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Wow! Look at this. In verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear. Say that with me. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have what? Passed away. Praise God. They all passed away. Look at in verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these things are true and faithful. Let me just pause right there. What God has written in His word, God will promise it and bring it to fruition. God is not like a man that can lie. God is truth. Hallelujah. Thy word is truth. And if He said, these things which I'm reading for your understanding and to your learning, you need to take it to the bank. You need to believe God that He's going to make all things brand new. Can I get an amen in the house? Hallelujah. Let's go back to God's word. And He said in verse 6, and He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Look at verse 8. Now, here's a warning to those that will not, they will not, say that with me, they will not enter in. Verse 8 is clear in the book of Revelation, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. My goodness, my goodness. Help us, Jesus. Oh, help us, Jesus. God wrote that. This is why we need to cry out for our loved ones that are in sin. You need to tell them, you need to show them these scriptures, that when Jesus finally comes, it's going to be too late, and they're all going to be cast into the lake of fire. My goodness, we need Our responsibility is to tell truth and to let them know that God does not play around, that God's word is faithful and true, just like we read. Oh God, give us the strength, give us the unction, give us the confidence. Allow us to be bold. Don't allow us to be coward, like the cowardly lion. Let us be bold regarding the word of God, that we will tell them in love but in truth, that if they continue to live in a life not pleasing to God, and they have rejected the grace, they have rejected the cross, they have rejected the blood, they have rejected the Holy Spirit, then that's what's going to be left for them. My friends, we need to cry out, hallelujah. I'm going to stop and pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, many of us have family members and friends and co-workers, Lord, that are walking and living in sin. Lord, help us. Help us, oh God. Help them. Give them a mind to be saved, a heart to repent, and that they would truly turn to you, the living God. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the anointing right now. I believe God is going to do something radical. He's going to do something mighty. You got to believe God, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And so pray for those right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's go back to now verse 5 in Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Look at this. Fornication and uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry, my friends. It's idolatry. Wow. Let me just say this. I need to say this in love. But throughout all the epistles, this is the one thing that concerned the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Paul reiterated it in Romans, in Colossians, in Philippians. One of the things that God is truly requiring, especially the church that has been washed in the blood, to refrain from sexual sin. That's right. Notice he doesn't talk about hardly on the other ones, which are still a concern of God, but mainly are the sexual sins. And our nation is full of sexual sins. Everything now you can put on your phone in the privacy of your home. My goodness, saints. While Paul opposed the false teachers and regulations, he still forbade certain activities that had no part in believers' lives. If the Colossian believers were to live as examples of Christ, they had to put to death certain aspects of sinful earthly things lurking within them. The sinful nature, the old self. This is something that we need to understand. And again, Paul was describing the already, not the yet, of believers' lives. Although they had died with Christ and had been raised with Him, they were still susceptible to temptation and the evils of this sinful nature that we live in. Look what it says in God's Word right here. Look at this, my friends. In 1 John chapter 3, God admonishes us, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not what been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him," what? Purifies. There it is. Purifies himself just as He is pure. My friends, my friends. So there are basically two sets of sins that are listed. The first five refer to sexual sin. The second five are sins of the speech. These first five were related to the cultural background of the Colossians and were particularly deadly to the life of the church. So we need to look at these things, because in 2,000 years, nothing has changed. Can I get an amen? Nothing has changed. Let's look at this. Sexual sin. which is any form of illicit sexual relationship. The term serves to spotlight forbidden sexual behavior between people or indirect participation as an audience. In other words, you enjoy watching. You may not be indulging, but you sure enjoy watching. Look at this. We derive our term pornography from this Greek word in contrast to the loose morals of the ancient Greek world. Believers ought to show self-discipline and obedience to God in this area. Can I get an amen? Yes. Praise God. Let's look at the next one right here. Let's look at the next one. Number two, impurity, meaning moral uncleanness. Perhaps no sexual act has taken place, but what? The person exhibits a crudeness or insensitivity in sexual matters. So we need to be pure at heart. Can I get an amen? We need to live a life of purity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. You know, there are some churches who have big youth groups. You know, they'll have a sexual purity service where the young adult or the teenager will make a commitment, make a vow to God that they will keep themselves pure until the day of marriage. And that's how it should be taught throughout the land. But if you look at every commercial and TV and sitcom, people are in and out of bedrooms and there is no conviction regarding that. Let's go back here and let's look at this. Number three, lust, evil sexual passion that leads to excessive sexual immorality and perversion. These are the things that Paul dealt with, and we are dealing with them right now. Can I get an amen? Yes, we are. Look what God's word says in Romans 26:27. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what it is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was done. My goodness. Let's look at the next point right here. Shameful desires. That's right. Wanting something that is sinister and vile in order to satisfy one's desires. Lord have mercy. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. Help us. Listen, it's all about going before God and saying, God, cleanse my mind. Wash my heart. Allow me, oh God, when I spend that alone time with you, that my hearts and my motives will be pure. So I've learned this, saints of God, that if you're pure before God in private, guess what? You will be pure before the Lord in public. That's right, because God will expose those phony balonies who are saying praise the Lord, and yet in their private time, they're all about evil. Oh yes, God will expose. He will expose those sins so that, not to destroy that person, but that person would receive instruction and be rebuked for the things that they fall into. My goodness, look at what God's word says right here in Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is the key. That is the key, my friends, to walk in the Spirit. Now, let's look at our fifth point here. Greed for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. You see, relentless urge to get more for oneself. In this context, Paul may have been focusing on greed for satisfying evil desires and for sexual immorality. The greed is described as idolatry because its focus is on filling desires rather than God's. Wow. Wow. See, the church needs to be taught these type of teachings. Why? So that it would strengthen us, that we can be encouraged that God's will, that God's grace, that God's way are better than ours. Oh, that's right. Much better. Much better. Look at this, my friends. Look at this for a moment. Look at this. In verse 6 now, in Colossians chapter 3, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon what? The sons of disobedience. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, God's terrible anger refers to God's judgment on these kinds of behavior. God does not reveal His wrath arbitrarily. His perfect moral nature will not permit sin and wickedness to go unpunished, my friends. That's right. And while wrath occurs at present in the natural consequences of sinful behavior, the final culmination of God's will come with future and final punishment of evil. People may try to get around it, but there is punishment for evil for those who have not believed in Christ as Savior. My friends, this is why we need God's help. We need God's help. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to close with these last two verses in Colossians. Let's go there right now. Verse 7, in which you yourself once walked, praise God, when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, what? Anger and wrath and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Now, Paul is shifting from sexual sins to something that we spew out of our mouth. You ever been around a group of people and all of a sudden, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out? Obviously, they're not born again. Or they wouldn't even use curse words, and then Christ comes out of their mouth. But God is saying, because I've been around, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna blast nobody up here, but I've been around quote-unquote Christians that have had a potty mouth. And it's like, what? Where did that come from? Let's look at this. In which you yourself once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all what? Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. What? My goodness. Look at this. Number one, anger. Anger is a continuous attitude of hatred that remains bottled up within, saints of God. This could refer to what is under the surface, while rage below refers to what bursts out. Anger would destroy the harmony and the unity Paul called amongst believers. Wow. Wow, saints. You see, the Colossian church, they were told to die to their sin and that they would come into that relationship with Christ, that they would walk in love. They would walk in the grace of God. Hallelujah. And so this is a few things that we must do. Get rid of means to put off or disrobe. The old filthy clothes must be taken off before the new clothes can be put on. The believer removes the old life of sin and puts on the new life of Christ. The Colossians believers had experienced this, and Paul asked that they act it out in their lives. Not only did they need to deal with sexual immorality and all its variations, they also needed to deal with misused anger that often spilled over into even evil speech. So we looked at the anger issue. Let's look at the next one here. Let's go here. Look at this. Rage. Outbursts of anger or quick temper for selfish reasons. This could mean continual and uncontrolled behavior. My goodness, my goodness. We need to guard ourselves from that. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Number three, malicious behavior. That means doing evil despite the good that has been received. This word is a general term referring to an evil force that destroys relationships. It can mean anything from trouble to wickedness. It is a deliberate attempt to harm another person. My goodness, my goodness. Look at that, number four, slander. You ever been slandered upon? Destroying another person's good reputation by lies, gossip, spreading rumors, etc. Malice often manifests itself through slander. My goodness, help us, Jesus. We need help in the days that we live in, my friends. That's right. Look at this one. Dirty language, like I just mentioned. Crude talk, abrasive language, expletives. Paul admonished the believers that such language must be caught and stopped before it escapes their own mouth. Wow. Wow, my friends. Let me just say this. These behaviors have no place in any Christian or in any church. Can I get an amen in the house? These are part of the old life before knowing Christ. Christians must resolutely put off these repulsive sins of anger and speech so that they can put on Christ's attitudes and actions. My goodness, my goodness. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that you have teachers and pastors and people in your lives to show you a better way, to show you the things that God loves and the things that God hates? But I'm here to let you know, my friends, soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. Oh, yes, he is. I believe that. I showed you earlier, for those of you who maybe just logged on, go back and replay this message. But I'm here to let you know that those things that I PowerPointed earlier in this message are happening right now. There's a full-out war in Israel. There are over 250,000 that have died recently in COVID in India. There are riots still happening in our nation. The homosexual and transgender community are trying in all 50 states to bring curriculum into the public school system to indoctrinate your son and daughter, your child. Many of you cannot afford to send them to a private school. So we trust the public school. But now they want to shove that agenda down their throat and have them believe that it's okay, that it's natural. No, it's not. It's an abomination unto God. Can I get an amen? This is why I'm here to let us know that Jesus is about to come. He said in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of war, earthquakes in various places, volcanoes blasting off around the world. He's about ready to return. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready to meet him in the air? Because God said it best like this. Look what he said. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another. And so God is going to do something miraculous when he comes. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, faster than the speed of light. And we're going to be just like him. And then according to the scriptures that was taught to us by evangelist Donald Perkins, we're going to be a witness to the unbelievers. We're not just going to be, boom, be in heaven. We're going to be changed, our bodies, immediately. And then we're going to float and ascend into heaven. Wow! And the unbelievers are going to look up and it'll be a witness to them that they had an opportunity and they fell to receive the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And so, Bible's clear. A change must take place. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54, Paul wrote to them and said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Maybe you just logged in. And maybe, just maybe, this is the first time knowing that God, who loves his church, I'm talking about those who have truly been born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, that are now spirit-filled, heaven-bound, and a hell to shun. If that's not you, and it hasn't taken place just yet, don't let this depiction happen to you. Let's look at this for a moment.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
My friends, that's always going to be the question. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready? Here's the question. Does your heart get excited about meeting Jesus, who created us, who is removing us from this planet that's gonna end in judgment, or you just don't care? My friends, don't miss it, because once it takes place, it's over. It'll be all over. So, here is the King. God says to repent. Turn. Make a change. Say, God, I don't want to live my life like I've been living it. I want to live a life with you, Jesus. I want to change my thought, my heart, and turn toward you. Turn to the cross. And here is the key scripture for that, saints of God. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why? "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. God, praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that God has made a way for you? And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are watching with us right now, the Amazing Grace family, and maybe you're a believer and you're logged in, I'm going to ask that you would all get behind this prayer for those who have never given their life to Jesus, and that they would truly repent in their heart and surrender to God. So pray this sinner's prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, saints of God. Give God a shout of praise. Someone gave their heart to Jesus. We don't know who they are, but let me just say this. If that's you and you're logged in right now, down below, as you can see, is our website. Reach out to us. You can find us there. Our phone number's there. Our email's there. We want to reach out to you and give you a Bible and point you to a church that'll teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so I am so blessed for this evening. Thank you for tuning in, saints of God. I can't wait to see you all on Sunday morning, live in person service. I'll tell you, last week, we thank and praise God for Bishop Trout who came in and brought a wonderful Mother's Day message. You can always go to YouTube, Facebook, or go on our website to relive the moment. But I'm looking forward to this Sunday. I'll be teaching on the Feast of Pentecost. It's when the Holy Ghost was poured out 2,000 years ago. And we're just a few days away from Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. And so, my friends, we love you. We are so mighty thankful. And we want to just give another shout out to those who have truly been a blessing to Amazing Grace over the years. You continue to support our ministry. Down below is our website once again. If you've never given to our ministry, I challenge you to do so, because your donations are deeply appreciated. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you 10:30 Sunday morning at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. So on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction, this blessing upon your lives, and we'll see you this Sunday, amen, at 10:30. And so the benediction goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So we love you. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.